I was waiting for that.
All right. Should be ready to go, John.
Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. And shame on the devil. Amen and amen. Okay, well, I guess we have an interesting portion of scripture to go through today. There's a lot of different ways it could be taught. In fact, we could probably do another 50 lessons just out of this portion. But we'll try not to go 52 weeks, okay? We'll try not even to go 52 minutes. So, well, Doug, if you don't mind opening us up with the word of prayer to ask God's choice blessing on this word, we appreciate it.
Thank you, Lord, for this time that we're having. I pray, Lord God, that John, although he touches us with message today, and we pray the Holy Spirit works in each of our lives. We thank you for this this time and this fellowship in the Word of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. We're going to make an attempt here. It shouldn't be too hard. We're going to go with Isaiah 3:16 down to the end of the chapter. And before we start to read it, the entire chapter 3 dealt with God's judgment. Let's take a look at Isaiah 4:16. In my study, I thought that was 3:16, but it hits on the same place on the opposite page of my Bible.
There's not 16 in 4.
There isn't.
Oh, 5:16. Oh. My fault. Okay, 5:16. It says here, "But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness."
Amen.
Amen and amen. The Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. So as we go back into chapter 3 and look at all the verses there, there's a special judgment apparently that God has on women dealing with the time of Isaiah. And as we go through those verses, we'll find out that it's no different than today. Sin in any age is still sin, and it's still the same whether you dress it up, don't dress it up, hide it up, sin is sin, and it always calls for judgment. One of the things that probably would have saved Israel had they been walking with the Lord, walking in His Word, walking in the law, and they weren't doing that. And so now it's time for the judgment coming.
The whole thing is about their apostasy.
Apostasy. And so I was praying before the Lord on this. And Jenny, that one. Because you're drinking right now for a second.
That's okay. Whatever you need.
See, my teacher's already driven you to drink. Luke
9:23.
Luke 9:23.
One sec. I'm Luke 7 with 8. There we go. 9:23. Okay. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me."
Amen. Amen. Now notice the three things he said. Deny yourself. He said, take up the cross daily. Daily. And he said, and follow me. If you ask the average Christian what it means to take up the cross, sometimes the mind goes fuzzy. And you have all sorts of different ideas. But a lot of time it's never fallen through. And I'd like to draw a picture in your mind of one way you could consider picking up the cross daily. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul's final letter that he wrote. And I will go ahead and read it. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, all Scripture, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Remember righteousness. God said he's sanctified in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect. Perfect, that means be complete. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, picture in your mind the cross. In the center of the cross is the heart of God. In the center of the cross is all Scripture given by inspiration. We here at BBF Ohio know without a single doubt that the book we hold here in the Authorized King James is the perfect Word of God for the English-speaking people.
Amen.
Word for word. Word for word. We know it's perfect. We don't question it. We let it question us.
Amen.
We let it question our motives, our walk. We let it talk to us. This is the Word of God. At the top of the cross is the head of Christ. The head. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine comes from the Lord. Comes from his heart. From the head. And is profitable for reproof and for correction. On the cross here you have two hands. Right hand, left hand. Okay? Left hand for reproof. Why? Because we're on the left most of the time. Reproof. If you go to, Proverbs 6:23. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So we're talking about reproof here. We're not talking about throwing you in the jail. We're not talking about clobbering you. The reproof is to show you you're in error. You're in sin. You're in wrong. Reproof. So when you're reading the Word of God that's inspired by him, when you're reading for the doctrine, you're going to come across stuff that you're not doing. You're going to come across stuff that's just going to tear you to shreds. As I get older, there are certain verses I don't like. Why? Because it speaks to the left hand. I'm in the wrong, and I have to repent. And that's what the right hand is for. Correction. When you see what the reproof is, you correct it. The two go hand in hand. It's also a picture of repentance. I'm wrong, now let's get it corrected. Let's confess it before the Lord, and let's get it right. Jennifer.
I had an interesting thought. I was comparing this to me with my Chinese students. You know, I'm maybe reproving and correcting them all the time, and they don't see it as a negative thing. And I know it's interesting, you know, why do I correct them? Because if I don't correct them, they won't be able to communicate properly.
Correct.
And we won't understand anything.
They won't learn. It's learning, right?
Learning, but it's also, you know, if they're saying Harry Potter, if they say that, you can guess it's Harry Potter, but you don't know. It's not communicating.
Correct.
And so, I don't know, it's just interesting thinking that maybe...
Your mom would say the same thing when the Somalians would go to McDonald's and order a hamburger. It did not sound like the word hamburger.
He wanted a steak pickle.
Yeah,
Steak bagel.
So if you ask her, it's...
Steak bagel.
It deals with communication. And if the reproof is not corrected, you're into apostasy right away. You're into apostasy. You're away from where? The inspiration of God, that's the doctrine. Now, the last part of it here is for instruction in righteousness. That deals with the feet. We are called not only to believe on Christ, but to walk with them. To walk daily. Pick up your cross daily. And so, the picture I'm going to try to instill in your mind is that every day, what it means to pick up the cross is to pick up your King James Bible and read it. And as you read it, you come across the verses that go against your grain. That's the reproof. Then correct it by asking God's forgiveness. And then instruction in righteousness. Lord, what would you have me do today? You're now picking up your cross. You're now denying yourself. You've now picked up the cross. Lord, what's on the agenda today? And as you read through the scriptures, start listing all the different commands that God gives to you, walking in the instruction. One of them, of course, is don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. That is one of the instructions. Give to the Lord's work. Be a witness. If you're married, love your wife. Wife, love your husband. Parents, love your kids. Those are all the instructions. And it comes where? It comes out of the inspiration of the Word of God. I think that's just to apply that to see if that doesn't work for you. It'll take a little while to ingrain it, but that's what the cross really is. Us being in the inspirational Word of God and getting our sins cleared, getting them corrected, and then walking with the Lord. And when we walk with the Lord, what's in our heart? Why did Christ come here? For God so loved the world. Why? Because the whole world's in sin. And I think it's in Luke 24 where it tells them to repent. And when they repent, then they get corrected. And then they get the instructions. Great commission to walk in the Lord. That's how it is supposed to work. That is how God gets glory. And if we notice in verse 17 here, that the man of God may be perfect. Those are the four things you do to be perfect with the Lord. Thoroughly. Not thoroughly. If your Bible says thoroughly, you have either an error or the wrong Bible. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Those are the instructions of righteousness, the good works. So let's take a look at our text here today. And I'm going to check out my bookmark. Here we go. Chapter 3. We already have discussed verses 1 through 15, God's judgment for his people forsaking his word. We discussed Leviticus 26, verses 12 through 46, what God would do if they forsook his word. And Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 to 68. Again, God says, if you forsake my word, here's what's going to happen. So now when we come into Isaiah chapter 3, God is doing every single thing he said he would do. Now let's go ahead and let's read together Isaiah chapter 3. I'll start the even, and I'll let you guys do
the
odd.
The whole chapter?
Hmm?
Where are we starting in 3?
16. 16.
Okay.
16.
All right.
So I'll do the even. I'll let you do the odds.
Okay.
Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and minching as they go and making a tinkling with their feet.
Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts.
In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of the tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their cauls, and their round tires like the moon,
the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers,
the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs, and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings,
the rings and nose jewels,
the changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles and the whipples and the crisping pins,
the glasses and the fine linen, and the hoods and the veils.
And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle, a rent, and instead of a well-set hair, baldness, and instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty.
Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war.
And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. Amen. Wow. We had to read that thing and the whole thing to get the whole context of it. Let's notice a few things. I'm sure there's a few words in here that you're trying to guess what it is. And so I was done guessing. I had to look them up. Let's start with...
this is all about mostly about women, isn't it?
Yes.
Until you get down to 25.
Yeah. Let me share this much, too, as we go into these women here. These women here are, they're like prostitutes, they're like whores.
Or like American women.
Unfortunately, yes.
It's just, they are. I mean, when you did get
yeah.
So he's talking about Daughters of Zion. Yeah, he's not talking about prostitutes. He's talking about the
but he's saying that that's what they've become. Then,
yeah.
Yeah. In other words, they have an image. Oh, good night. Just to give you a comparison, back in, I don't know if it was, at some point, my family and I went to Jack Hiles Church when,
before the stuff went down over there.
Yeah, when the second pastor there after him, Sharp?
Scop?
Chop?
Scop. That's his son-in-law, Scop.
Yeah, Scop, yeah. The son-in-law was there. It was a huge place. I was very impressed by it. It was very well organized. It felt like a little church like this. You felt very comfortable. The Word of God was plainly preached. The people were friendly. The pew that we sat in up front, someone came up and said, "You're in my pew."
Oh, really?
And so I said, "Well, this is our first time here." And they said, "Oh, no problem. You got it." And so, at any rate, though, we had a great time there. We even went to Sunday school there and see how they taught that. It was interesting being at a church that had a 2 or 3-till garage, parked the cars and everything.
Garage, yeah.
And so, at the end of the service, the pastor said, "For all the visitors, if you'd like to talk to me after church, I'll be down here and, you know, just form a line."
Yeah.
So I was not going to miss the opportunity. So we stood in line for, I don't know, half an hour maybe, whatever it was, 20 minutes, half an hour. And so I got a chance to shake his hand and thank him for a great place and great Word of God, great sermon and everything. And then I gave him a gospel tract.
And
I don't pass any of these people up with gospel tracts. You never know what's going on in their lives. They need to be encouraged and reminded of the gospel. And the gospel tract I gave him was the marriage gospel tract. God's sevenfold design and purpose for marriage. Now, 1 year later, it came out that he was having an affair with an underage girl. All right? Now, who would have suspected that? In a church running 12,000, 14,000. Yeah.
I'm just saying, I suspected it because Jack Hiles was an adulterer.
Right, and his son.
And I have to say this, John. I listened to hundreds of sermons from that church, and they do not teach the Bible. They stomp on the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, Hiles himself. That's why when you go to churches like that, you might be impressed by the size and everything, but there was child molestation and adultery in that church for decades. And it's just, so you did the right thing, though.
Yeah.
You gave him a marriage.
Yeah. But you have to remember on how people are brought up. Anyone that you come in contact, you don't know what they've been taught. You have no clue. You don't know what they have heard on TV. You don't know if the King James Church they went to is nothing but sermonettes. You know, 3 points in a cloud of dust.
When I talk about a church run like a franchise, like a business, that's the prime example.
Oh, absolutely. Well, apparently the FBI went in there, and they had to collect all the laptops. And what they found out was horrifying. I mean, the pastor was not the only one.
Yeah.
Half the staff, if not more, was committing adultery and having affairs on the side. And what that did to the staff, guys, what that did to the staff, it brought about a lot of divorces. All right? And many of those people are not attending church today at all. And it brought about, I don't know how many, but it brought about suicide. And where do you think those guys or ladies went that committed suicide? All right? Now, we wouldn't call that staff, you know, whores or prostitutes. But they're just like the Daughters of Zion here. Now, we can look at the Daughters of Zion a couple of ways. One, we could say it was just the higher up people in Jerusalem. All right, we could say that. That would be a problem. But maybe from God's viewpoint, the daughters of Zion is all the saved daughters. All of them. All right? Because it wasn't just the few at the top. America cannot collapse by a few dummies at the top. If the bottom is rotten, when a tree rots, when it rots at the roots, the whole tree comes down. And if America, as we speak right now, if it's rotten at the bottom, it don't matter about the top, it's going to collapse anyway. All right? And why? It's because we have forsaken the Word of God. Our culture, at one point in American history, 50% of the books on this continent were connected with the Bible. 50%. Guys, I don't think it's even 1% today. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, because people don't have a love for the Word of God. I try to in my gospel tracts and put something interesting in it to catch, it's like a baiting a hook. And so if I can get them to thinking, the Holy Spirit can do the rest. He can take what they've been taught, and they'll stay with them. Doug.
We always got to remember that that we got whores and we got whoremongers. That's important, because a lot of people want to talk about the prostitutes and the whores, but we also have the whoremongers that are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I think he gets to that in verse 25. They're just going to fall by the sword.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to them at the end, but let's take a look here.
You're right, Doug. You're right.
Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty. Okay? They're proud. They are proud of their sin. And I would be a bit surprised if the word haughty is not just them being proud, but I would be a bit surprised if they were, lesbians. I wouldn't be a bit surprised on that at all. And walk with stretch forth necks. It was okay. They're advertising. And wanton eyes. The word wanton means to deceive. It means to wink. And what are they winking at? They're winking at passerbys, just like a whore does, to entice them. It's not for matrimony. It's for pleasure. Wanton eyes. Walking and mincing as they go. The word mincing here means to walk with baby steps. It'd be like a Morticia in the Addams Family. Okay? But that's the type of walking he's talking about. Again, enticing. And making a tinkling with your feet. Now, the tinkling we find out is ankle bracelets. And they... For a lady to have ankle bracelets means she had to be well-to-do, because it costs money for metal, all right? I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it wasn't gold or bronze or silver, but it had ornaments hanging down on it, and so it would tinkle as they would walk, so you could spot them anywhere, drawing attention. Therefore, the Lord will smite with the scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. Now, the word scab here, that means he's going to give them a hair disease of some sort where their hair is going to fall out. Going to strike the crown. And if you remember what was shared with the cross, what's at the top of the cross? Doctrine. Were these ladies, are they under the protection of the husband? And the answer is no. Are the daughters under the protection of their dad? And the answer is no. God says, okay, bye-bye hair. Hair is for a covering for ladies.
A lot of the times it's related to STDs.
Yeah.
Syphilis and those kind of things that cause
exactly.
Men and women, they lose their hair.
Correct. And you wonder about, was Elijah who was bald? Elisha.
Well, his was
Elisha.
Yeah, there's a natural baldness that looks normal on men, but then there's a man who's got sexually transmitted diseases. There's scabs, sores.
Yeah.
And it's a main
exactly.
Baldness.
Jenny.
Oh, I was just noting, the tinkling around their feet. Isn't that like what the priests had? But they had it for when they went in the Holy of Holies. They didn't have like bracelets on their feet. It was like on the
bracelets. Yeah, it'd be like a perversion of that.
Yeah, kind of be like perversion. Theirs was on clothing. The prostitutes, though, was on their actual limbs. Sounds like.
And in verse 17 it says, "And the Lord will discover their secret parts." I don't think we need to elaborate on.
I think it's sexually transmitted diseases.
Diseases, yes. Okay. Yeah. Verse 18.
It says, if they had come in the schools and listed all the STDs and showed pictures of the body ravaged by those STDs, I think it would have cut way down and would still to this day cut way down on teen promiscuity.
Oh, yeah.
Kids, including me, we had no idea what was out there. And they'd have these sex ed classes where they talk more about body parts and sex acts than they did the repercussions.
Correct.
And they talk more about that and show pictures. It worked for cigarettes, for example. When I was in youth ministry, I had a poster where a girl was covered with what your lungs are covered with if you smoke. And when the kids saw this girl with that tar on her outside, and they realized that's what they were doing to their lungs, we had kids quitting left and right because they didn't know that was what was happening.
Well, I had a fifth grade teacher, Mr. Mann, up in Bangor, Maine, and he did that. He showed us pictures of what the lungs looked like with smoke.
Yeah.
And then he said he made a promise to us that if one of his relatives had a baby, they used to pass out cigars. So he didn't smoke, but someone in his family had a baby, so he brought the cigar in, and he took a piece of white cloth and blew the smoke through it. And after a couple of puffs, it turned brown. He said, "This is what's happening to your lungs."
We get away, got bubble gum cigars.
Yeah, I would be a bit surprised if no one in that class ever smoked.
Wow.
Now, I'm not talking about the whole school, but I'm just saying he was a good teacher. He was a very good teacher. Verse 18, "In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calls."
You know, as a woman, let's say this. So women, I know a lot of women who say, "Well, I can't go out without my face on, or I can't go out without this, and I can't go out." And it's their bravery. It's like it makes them bold.
Yeah.
Because they think they look good, or you know what I'm saying? Their confidence is in this crap instead of
the flesh.
And God's going to take it away. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, God's in the cartoon movie Incredibles, the first one they did, there's this one of the superheroes in there. There's a big crisis going on, and he's looking for his costume. He's not going to face the crisis without wearing his costume. And so he's yelling at his wife. He's looking through the closet, throwing everything around. That's the same type of thing.
Yeah.
It's like Jill's parents used to have a Cabbage Patch doll they called their Lucky Doll. They wouldn't go anywhere with it because without it, one time they crashed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Johnny.
Well, I wanted to just make the point on the guy wanting his suit there. He did also have the thing of identity, though, too.
Right.
So it's a little bit different, but...
Yeah, well...
For a scripture that just popped in my mind, in 1 Peter 3:3, it says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great Christ."
Yeah.
The ornaments, because we can be adorned with the things of Christ.
Yes. Well, the other scripture that popped in my mind, I'm not too sure where it's at, but probably Proverbs, but in Proverbs it talks about the immorality is done at nighttime. And when it's done at nighttime, there were no street lights back then. So nobody could discover your identity, so you were brave. Because no one's going to catch you. All right? Same type deal.
And John, what do you think of the fundamentalists? Christians, our brethren, though I don't disclaim them, but they all put on that suit and tie, and that makes them a preacher.
Yeah.
That's right.
And most of them can't preach their way out of a wet paper sack. They don't teach the Bible. They rant and rave and put on a show. And some of the most popular fundamentalist preachers are a waste of time to listen to. You're not going to learn anything. If you're already saved, you're already saved. So when they do preach the gospel, that's great, but they rarely even do that. But they put on that suit and tie, man. That's what it's all about.
Well, I grew up with this.
Nothing against suits.
Yeah.
Just as long as you don't think that makes you Superman.
No,
I have no problem with this.
Johnny got his one?
Yes, of course he does.
Yeah.
Nothing against suits if you want to wear one.
I don't have any problem with the suit and tie. The problem I have, the problem that I had with these guys that had the shirt and tie, you know, the coat, is that we didn't fellowship in the Lord. There was a vacuum. They could preach from the pulpit, but you were a nobody. Unless you put money in the offering plate, thank you, but don't bother me. There was no fellowship. Here, BBF makes a great attempt at fellowship. Mm-hmm. Great attempt. And we're not trying to impress one another, but we're trying to encourage one another in our walk with the Lord. And that's the way fellowship ought to be. I can't tell you how many people I can think of in the past that I tried fellowshipping with, and it was, no. And I would have to say that there's probably something going on in the back of their life. Even though they was in a high position, there's something else going on in their life, and they didn't want to be exposed. That'd be my guess.
You are judged by your zip code.
Oh, yeah. Verse 18, the word calls, it says, and their calls, that had to deal with from what I researched on here, the call was a net over the head or around the hips. They had like a mesh.
A veil.
Yeah, like a veil. And they're round tires like the moon. Okay, that's one of the weirdest phrases, I think, in the King James Bible. But the research I've come across on there, they used to wear a necklace, and in the necklace it had crescent-shaped moons. And so it would reflect the light and, of course, jiggle, jangle at the same time. Now, I think I put a scripture verse here. Let's see. Maybe not. Let's see. Yeah, Deuteronomy 17:2-5, if you want to make that a reference. You weren't supposed to worship the moon. You weren't supposed to worship the stars or the sun. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, since these ladies here are not in communication with the Lord, that they're worshiping the moon. That'd be a good thing to compare it with. Verse 19. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers. Well, the chains would be obvious, maybe, but it has to do with the jewelry that's on them. And the bracelets, whether it goes on the hands or the ears or whatever. And then the mufflers. A muffler was a veil that covered the face.
I just say this, that, you know, we always do this with the King James Bible, even those of us who are Bible believers, but it's no more weird than the stuff you hear people today, you know, wear a necktie. Well, the original word, they just called it a napkin, because that's what it was.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It became what it is today, and if people back then saw what we do with neckties, they'd be like, what in the world? That skinny little thing, that couldn't serve any purpose.
Yeah.
You know?
The purpose of the necktie was, when you were eating, you got slobbered all over your face, so you had that wrapped around your neck, so you just took it up and cleaned your face off, and you know, like eating Kentucky Fried Chicken and get greasy hands.
They'd call what we call a bib is what they would call, you know,
yeah,
what they used for a necktie. And there's all kinds of things. If you think about what women call their things today, even 50 years ago, they used different words. Just makes, you know.
In verse 20, the bonnets, you know, the old-fashioned Costa ladies, you had those little bonnets on their head, and the ornaments of the legs, and the headbands, and the tablets, and the earrings. From what I could discern from the word tablet, that was like a perfume box. That's where they would smell nice. And if you go into Proverbs, there's a place where the one lady is saying, you know, my husband's away for a couple weeks, whatever, and I have cinnamon, I've got perfume. All right? And the earrings. Verse 21, the rings and the nose jewels, they feel right at home here in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even guys have that. I'm just shaking my head, okay? 22, the changeable suits of apparel. Now, the changeable suits is they would have what type of clothing for the daytime? They look like normal average nighttime. Aha, the more provocative stuff. And the mantles and the wimples. So I had to look up wimples. And I've got a cloth covering that was worn over the head and around the neck and chin. Yes, Jenny.
Wimples. I'm pretty sure that's what nuns have, because they use that word in Sound of Music when talking about Maria.
Okay.
Like she's got like something under her wimple.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's probably the last. I didn't even pick that up. So.
Well,
I see that. Yes.
Webster just says a hood or veil.
Yeah. When you mentioned the earrings and the nose rings and all that type of thing, I'm thinking of tackle box phase.
And of course, the crisping pins. So I had to look up what was a crisping pin. And a crisping pin was for curling the hair. We call them hair curlers today.
Crisping.
Right.
Makes sense.
Decorating the hair and everything. Verse 23, the glasses. Most references on glasses in the Bible is not these, because we call them glasses. They're mirrors. You're looking into a glass, the looking glass, the one book. And the fine linen. And notice again in Proverbs, the lady enticing the guy, I've got fine linen. And the hoods and the veils. Verse 24, and it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. Why? Because when God overtakes them and overruns them with the foreign armies, they're going to take everything off them, and they're not going to be able to bathe. It's going to be a horrible time for them.
And STDs.
Yeah.
People who have STDs get up stinking.
Can just stink,
Yeah, it talks in the Old Testament about rotting.
Yeah, exactly. And instead of a girdle, a rent, which means it got ripped off them. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth. So I looked up stomacher. It's an ornament or support to the breasts and the stomach worn by females.
That makes sense.
On the front. And burning instead of beauty. One of the things the foreign armies would do when they would take over a country, I remember looking up the word Goliath, because I was interested in what the word Goliath means. And the word I came across was denude. And what the foreign army does is they come in and they strip you out of all your clothes and they march you back to where they're going to take you, and you're naked. So you're going to be in the burning sun.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to be burning. Your feet are going to be burning. And that was a way of punishment. And if you look at higher education in America, they are Goliath. They're getting all the students to take their clothes off. They're getting all the students to go back to nakedness. All right?
It used to be that if you, that tan was not the good thing. You wanted to be white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now they have tanning beds.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Michael Jackson and some others who wanted to look the part bleached their skin and everything.
Yeah.
And which is a shame, because, like, you know, there's, if you are what you are, God made you that way, and, you know, there are beautiful people with dark skin and everything, but if you're not dark skinned, back in that day, you didn't want a tan.
Correct.
And that's what they're going to be all burnt from what, like you said, being naked and exposed.
Yeah.
It's going to cause cancer and everything else.
Yeah.
One of my favorite evangelist was a guy called Carl Hatch. Carl Hatch was incredible. When we went to pick him up at the airport, he already won two people to the Lord before we could get to him.
Yeah,
2 minutes, okay. But at any rate, though, his son fell asleep out in the sun on the beach. burned up his skin and he died from it. So you imagine these people are marching to wherever they're marching them at. They're not all going to make it.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 25. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and they mighty in war. Go through all the wars in Scripture and see where Israel fell. And it, this time of Isaiah here, within less than a century, the Babylonian army was going to come in and slay them, knock them off. That means God is not with them. If you're not in the inspiration of the Word of God on a daily basis, picking up your cross, you're going to meet major defeat throughout the day. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground, just like a widow. And one of the neat comments I came on here was, if you're corrupt on the inside, outside your gates is lament and mourning waiting to come in. That's a really sad part there. It's quite a book. And I would tell you, pick up the cross daily. It's a struggle, I know, but every day, find that time to be in the book. Get the doctrine from the Lord.
Amen.
Pick up your cross. This is the cross. Pick it up. Read it. And when it reproves you, repent. Find out from God how you are to correct it. And then when it's correct, walk in the instruction of righteousness that he's given to you. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm cleaned up by your word. I'm ready for service. Here am I. Use me, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Would you like to pray for us?
Oh, yes, sir.
Amen.
Lord, praise everyone in the congregation and those who are waiting to come. And bless the people who have all the opportunity to receive the word of God.
Amen.
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 All right, my miners, see you in a little bit. Go grab your tea.